I want to invite you to join me on a pilgrimage on this road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Slide, please. In 2016, Dave and I went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land with St. George's College in Jerusalem, the Anglican College and pilgrimage centers for those who want to experience the Holy Land and respect the context of what is going on the land. The second last day of our pilgrimage took us to Wadi Kelt in the Judean wilderness, the traditional site where Elijah hid himself in a cave and encountered God in a still small voice, one of the stories that I know many people here love. It's not in the earthquake, it's not in the powerful windstorm, but experience God in the still small voice. Many biblical scholars believe also it is in this landscape that you see is a possible setting for the 23rd Psalm, when the psalmist talks about the valley of the shadow of death. But most importantly, this is the ancient trade route between Jerusalem and Jericho, where the parable of the Good Samaritan was set in. So, welcome to this landscape. And next slide, please. So, you see on the left-hand side is Jerusalem, and on the right-hand side is Jericho. So, Wadi actually is an Arabic word that means a ravine or gorges or valley or a creek. It means all those things. So, this ancient trade route actually follow this creek, which some parts of it is almost like the Palestine versions of the Grand Canyon. It's quite majestic, right? And along this wadi has three natural springs that feeds this creek, and is with the provisions of an abundance of water, which is an important resource for any form of life in a semi-arid landscape. It is, and with the dramatic landscape, it is the perfect setting for a story with robbers and violence and a good tryst. Someone who came to the man's rescue. Next slide, please. Well, this morning, as we listen to this very familiar parable, this is one of the most popular, almost parallel to the Christmas stories, familiar story in scriptures that is known to, of course, Christians, but it has a reach way beyond the Christian world. You'll be surprised how many people who are not part of our faith have heard about the Good Samaritans. As we listen to this parable again, I wonder what are some of the first image that floats to your mind when you hear those words, show mercy, go and do likewise. One of the first image I have was actually that powerful proclamations of Bishop Marion Buddy, Episcopal Bishops of Washington State, what she said to President Donald Trump during the inauguration service. In the name of God, I ask you to have mercy upon people in our country who are scared now. LGBT Americans fear for their lives. And a similar fear looms over hardworking immigrants' family in communities across the country. Speaking truth to power in the most powerful modern context. I would imagine some of you, the image that flows, maybe the scenes happening in Gaza or in Ukraine or in any places of violence in our world, whether locally or abroad. Show mercy. Go and do likewise. Some of the other images that comes to my mind include the story of Brandon Tanner, a transgender man who was murdered, and her story was captured in the movies Boys Don't Cry. The 22-year-old Matthew Shepard in Wyoming in 1998, who was beaten, not to death, but left hanging on the fence until he was found dead in the morning. LGBT peoples whom others have shown no mercies to. And of course, there are the many African Americans or Canadians who suffered, including George Floyd, who awakened the world with the utmost cry, "I can't breathe." Love your enemies has been the key teaching of this parable when we are growing up. But I argue why this teaching of Christ has not transformed our world into a more peaceable kingdom. Is it something that is flawed about this teaching? Why is it so difficult to show mercy to our neighbors? I wonder sometimes. I guess it was in this landscape in 2016, right there in that context, I remember feeling the blinds on my eyes on the meaning of this parable were lifted suddenly when Reverend Gregory Jenks, the then dean of the college, invited us to read the story from the perspective of the man who was robbed and beaten rather than from the perspective of his rescuer, whom people in material power and cultural superiority seems to adopt automatically. So often when we talk about the parable of the Good Samaritans, when we do Bible study about it, we read it from the perspective of the rescuer. Just learn from the story. Do not be the priest, the Levites, and be the good Samaritans, the do-gooder who show mercy. In a way, there is nothing wrong about that. If we are not because of Christ making it a law or a teaching, but if it's from the bottom of our hearts, it invokes pity and we practice mercy. But I invite you to join me when I was in the Judean wilderness looking at this landscape, meditating on what happened if the story were true and what Jesus was really getting at. By flipping the script and perspective, we are compelled to wrestle with a different set of questions and a different set of truth. Who are the least likely people I am prepared to receive mercy from? Who is the last person in the world I would allow myself to be indebted to? If we can honestly answer these questions, then here is the most important point that requires your action. Go and do likewise. If you decide to follow the way of Jesus, the people you just recall are the very persons you are called to reconcile with. It is not a parable about doing more good than you already does, showing more mercies. It is a story about the radical gospel of mutuality. Jesus did not tell the parable to legitimize those who wanted to cling on to their power over others and inherit material wealth in the world and the next, as represented by the lawyer who want to inherit eternal life. It's actually a very strange question to ask when you think about it. Eternal life. Why would someone inherit eternal life? By framing the question this way, the lawyer is actually using language of economics. Note that this language for material inheritance in the questions, Chet Myers regarded it as a conceit typical of the elite who presume salvation to be like the intergeneration transfer of wealth they enjoy. In contrast, Jesus sees reconciliation with our neighbors, even our enemies, and reconciliation with God as the two sides of the same coin. If we desire to reconcile with God, we are compelled to reconcile with our neighbors. And vice versa, if we decide to reconcile with our neighbor, we are compelled to reconcile with God. The same teaching in the Lord's Prayer regarding God's forgiveness as we forgive those who sin against us. What difference does this make? If we allow ourselves to seek mercies from our enemies first, it flips the power dynamics and put ourselves in a vulnerable position to receive It takes the arrogance and the faith-saving dynamic out of the enemy's dynamics. It allowed the enemies to have an opportunity to reveal his or her or their true humanities to ourselves. For the first time, we are not meeting them as categories, enemies. It allows us to invite their true life and story. And when we are able to allow ourselves to be at the receiving ends, the gospel power to make peace beginning to surface. I wonder how, if we take this teaching to heart and practice it in the world, how it would have changed even the nastier tensions and generation struggle in our world today. What if Israeli reached out to those Palestinians that want to do them harms because of the history of displacements and ask for help rather than the power over approach? Whether it would create opportunities to build bridges for two people to meet each other as human being, both as victims of intergenerational violence. What if the presidents of our neighbors is able to see the other nations of the world as partners? If there are resources the United States needs, asked and received rather than power over through throwing unreasonable, ridiculous tariffs that just ruins everybody's economy. And the transformation's effects just ripple on. So this is what I will leave you. Important questions to ask yourself as you reread, relearn, restudy the parable of the Good Samaritans today.